Hello and welcome to another episode of the Just Talking About Films podcast, where we get together and just talk about films. My name is Ian Sargentson.
And my name's Luke Taylor, and we just like to get together, talk about the films we've seen, talk about what we love about films, because we really love talking about films. We love watching them, but of course, watching them, it is more than just this individual thing. It's a collective experience. I love going to the cinema so you can watch with other people, but love being able to discuss the films afterwards. So that's why we're here.
Yeah, absolutely. So exciting. And today we'll be talking about Top Gun Maverick for the majority of the show. So if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to stop listening now. We're not going to talk about it for a while, but obviously to save yourself from hearing anything you don't want to, better be safe. And stop now and listen to the whole podcast after you have seen.
Yeah, and we will highlight the bit where we are going to start talking about it in advance. So if you do get that far, at least it gives you time to press pause.
Yeah, and I've just come back from watching it. Literally came from the cinema home and then jumped online. So
you have literally just come from the danger zone as we speak.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so before we get into that, just want to bring up a couple of things. So when we were doing the gut reaction questions last week, and we haven't got any this week. It's my fault. We do have some. I've asked people to do them, but I've left them elsewhere. So because I haven't seen them, I can't even relay them to you. So next week, we'll probably have double the amounts of gut reaction questions. But it's interesting because some people have been in touch with us and told us what they think. So yeah, let's have a look. So Chris Wadeson got in touch with me, and he said his favourite, from the questions that we asked last time, his favourite animated film is Toy Story 3. His guilty pleasure is Naked Gun, but that's mainly because the jokes haven't aged well. the actor he would have to play himself is Tobey Maguire. And in terms of sermon illustrations, what came to his mind was Wax On, Wax Off, Mr. Miyagi and the Karate Kid, and linking that to discipline and daily devotionals. You're not always sure what the point of it is, but you often see the benefits later in life. So I think that was some good insights from Chris there. So thanks for that, Chris. And John got in touch on Twitter and said he enjoyed EEAAO, which is...
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. He said it was his top two films of the year.
Wow.
He had mixed reviews on the Doctor Strange. His favourite animation is Zootopia, and he would have Paddy Considine to play him.
Zootopia, that's a good choice. I like that.
Great film. Really enjoyed it. Yeah. Kate was on to me for ages to watch it. I was like, I'm not really into animations about, you know, talking animals, Lion King apart. But then I watched it. I was like, I should have watched this before.
It's really good. Really good. Oh, that's brought back to mind another one that I haven't seen in years. It might not be good anymore. You know, when you just think, I used to love it as a kid. An American Tale. I haven't seen that in a long time. I wonder if that's
American
good.
American Tale. Yeah, but I was like, it's some classics because this week it's like they've remade or they've restarted Chip and Dale, and they've said it's not a reboot. But everything I've seen about it looks pretty much like a reboot.
I have seen it.
I didn't watch it. All right.
I will explain. I can guide you through that one. I've seen it this week.
I didn't watch it in case it just ruins my memories of Chip and Dale.
we'll get into that one.
Well, you've watched it, haven't you? Right. Okay. So, well, let's get into that. Tell us what you've watched, Lou.
Okay. Well, shall I start with that one because we were on it anyway? Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers. Okay. So it's not a reboot. What it is. It kind of feels like a soft sequel to Roger Rabbit in the sense that cartoons exist in the real world and the cartoons you've seen on TV are actors. So Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, Chip and Dale are both actors, cartoon actors, who met at school, were good friends, and were part of this series called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which got cancelled.
I'm not having this. Dale are Rescue Rangers, not actors.
They play Rescue Rangers. This is about the people who made the TV show that you like. And they got cancelled because Dale was being offered his own program. And so it got cancelled as a result, and his program died after the pilot. So they haven't seen each other in 20 years. Dale is now doing the conventions and the fan circuit, desperately trying to revive his career. And Chip is selling insurance. And Monterey Jack, who is the mouse from Chip and Dale, goes missing. So they decide that they should get back together, and they go searching for Monterey Jack.
Become real Rescue Rangers.
Correct, yes.
I mean, up until that point, it was about the worst and saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. But as long as there's somewhere they are real Rescue Rangers, Jack, then...
They do. And I have to say, I had no expectations for it going in. It was just like, this seems like a really bad idea, but it was reviewing really well. So I thought I'd give it a go. I laughed all the way through. Consistently.
With the greatest of respect, Lee, you know I respect it. You laugh. See, you didn't have. You laugh fairly easily.
I do. The jokes in it, it reminds me in terms of joke level of the Lego movie, where there's a joke every couple of seconds. Lego movie. Exactly. It's joke. So if you didn't laugh at that one, this one will get you. If that one didn't, this one will.
The Lego movie's like, so many try it, but that one just nailed it. I just thought, yeah, that is clever. Clever humour, yeah. Funny, yeah, get it. But so many of the others are just not, but if you're saying that this is on that level, I'll have a look.
I'd say it's on that the level of the Lego movie in terms of joke ratio, certainly. The plot's fun. I guess it's not original in the sense, you know, it's two people who used to be friends getting back together to try and help a third friend. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it maintained its the laughter right throughout it. I came away a little embarrassed of liking it, but I liked it a lot.
Did you watch it? Did you watch it at the cinema?
No, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, no, it's like I came away from where I'd be embarrassed about it. Well, one of the main questions is, does it have the same theme tune?
The theme tune is played throughout the film every now and again, because of course it was the theme tune to their program.
Yeah. All right, because that was a cool theme. I'm hosting it now, but now it's coming back.
And yeah, there's some. It's full of. I mean, it's a little bit like Roger Rabbit in a sense. It's full of cameos of other animated characters from different things, in funny ways. I don't know if to spoil it or say, but you meet Peter Pan, the cartoon who played Peter Pan, who is now
old. Don't tell me Peter Pan's not real. He's now old. How ironic is that?
Yeah, and hasn't been able to get a job since, and so he's a bit bitter and twisted. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. I didn't think it would be. I didn't think it would work, but actually, I really recommend it.
I'm not sure I'll get to it this weekend with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Well, there is that. That's my. It was going to be my plan for tonight, but we're out tonight, so.
Yeah, I think we're looking at Obi-Wan and Stranger Things tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, but I recommend it. I do. It's worth giving it a try. The idea and the concept, I was thinking, I can't see this working, but I actually really enjoyed it. Yeah. Okay. Then, because I watched Prince of Egypt last week, I thought I'd follow it up with another Moses story. I did Exodus, Gods and Kings, the Christian Bale version. And what the Prince of Egypt got right, this gets completely wrong. Man, the effects are amazing. Don't get me wrong. A great effects. Christian Bale's very good. The film's awful.
I've never watched it. I think it's because of the subject matter. The same with Noah. And I know it got hammered, so then it kind of justified it. So I never watched him just because I'm like, they're going to use so much poetic license.
Oh, they do, and some of the choices they make are just, yeah, I don't like them at all. But aside, it doesn't respect the story the same way that Prince of Egypt does. Just doesn't. Yeah. But also, even on the level of, if you forget that for a moment, it still isn't a good film. Did not enjoy it one little bit.
Have you seen it before? No.
I'd seen it when it originally came out, but you know when you think, maybe I was too harsh on it. Maybe I remember it.
Yeah, I do it all the time and then go, nope.
No, it's as bad as you remember. It is. Not good. Then I've watched From Russia With Love.
Okay.
And what was the first James Bond film? Oh, Dr. No. Yes, I watched the first two James Bond films. Which I find fascinating because those first two, not until we get to Goldfinger, is most of the things you associate with a James Bond film in it. Those first two were very different films. And I've never seen them for years and years, and I'd forgotten, really. I mean, there's no theme tune, you know. In the same way, it's the gadgets are managed differently. They're very different films. And it kind of made me think, actually, you know, it could be interesting if you, because they're going to keep making Bond films. What if we just got rid of all of the stuff that's built up around it and go back to basics with what the originals were a little bit more like? And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Simple story.
Which one, Dr. No or From Russia with Love?
From Russia with Love. I thought it was you know, it's a simple story. It's not overly complicated. There's not too many action sequences. It's not about this. James Bond's kind of become a little bit like, I think because True Lies and the Mission Impossible films try to raise its level, but maybe it'd be better as a simpler spy story.
So,
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. And then I watched Zulu.
Great film.
Yeah, well, I'd never seen it.
Oh.
That was just one of those blank spots that I had.
What is it? The Battle of Rock Ridge, is it?
Yeah, something like that. It's where they're standing. And I never realised it was about a famous, you know, that they managed to live, you know, but I didn't know that while watching the film. So I was on edge the whole time. And Michael Caine, his first film, as I understand, he was great in it. And very really unlike good. The Michael Caine he becomes, in a sense. I thought it was really good, really effective. And what I liked about it is most of the film is this building tension of they're coming, they're getting closer, we can hear the drums in the distance. And I really like, I was watching High Noon a few weeks ago, which again... I made a mistake with High Noon. I taped it off the Paramount channel. And I didn't series link it. And for some reason, the Paramount channel had split it into two halves.
Yeah.
And so I've only seen half of it because it didn't tape the second half, which I'm really, because I was really enjoying that. But that film was all about this guy's coming to get you. He's coming.
Yeah.
The train's arriving at High Noon. And it was all about the buildup and the, you know, how bad this guy is and how dangerous he is. And can we be ready in time? And Zulu reminded me a lot of that. Is it's all a lot of its build up, and that build up's great because when the battle happens, you're totally invested in it by the time you get there. And I really enjoyed Zulu.
Yeah, I do as well. It helps you, or helped me, to see things from another point of view. You know, as a kid or whatever, even watch things, it was like quite good that the Allies or the British were always good guys. And The whoever we were fighting was always the enemy and they were bad. And this kind of blurred those lines to me when I watched it as a young lad, do you know what I mean? Going, I have sympathy for them.
You do. And also you appreciate that these guys, even though the British thought of them as primitive, actually had really advanced battle techniques that, you know, that took them on. I thought it was a good film. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a classic.
Yeah, and I'm glad I've seen it now because it was one of those ones that I just missed. So that's my week. That's what I've seen. What about you, Ian?
I haven't seen a lot. It's been a really busy week this week. So I've seen half of June, but I turned it off because I was falling asleep and I want to, you know, appreciate it because it's a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of things that you have to try and follow and understand anyway. So I don't want to be watching it tired. So I'll get back to that across the weekend. And I watched Ace Ventura for our film club. And I was, when it came out that we were watching that, I was like, oh, and I know I wasn't the only one. And I don't know why, because when it first came out on release, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was very different. And not, I haven't seen it in between, I don't think, which, you know, maybe a couple of times in that first year. But I think I was It was like, you know, when you eat something and you're like, oh, that's good. And then you eat it over and over again. And then you go, right, I don't want that anymore. And I think that's what I was like with Jim Carrey. It was like, oh, he's great, great, great. And then I've just become Jim Carrey'd out. And the thought of him now, it's just exhausting. Apart from maybe the mask, I kind of like the mask.
It, maybe it's not just because you ate it too many times. Maybe some things are good when you're a kid to eat and not good when you're in that. I was thinking of Nerds. I used to love those as a kid. Couldn't stand them now.
Yeah, and I get that, but it's just like I haven't. I would have to try them to know that I wouldn't want them.
Mm.
But I haven't with Jim Carrey, and I've not seen him. I got to the point where I avoided his films. But it's just like the mask I like because the mask almost explains that it goes to this other personality. Do you know what I mean? Whereas
yeah,
the whole character of Ace Ventura is just ridiculous.
Mm. It's just like, how wacky can I be?
Yeah. I mean, there was some bits that smiled. It hasn't aged particularly well. There was some smiley bits, but it was massive at the time, wasn't it? It was catchphrase after catchphrase. And
it was huge. I remember going to see it. I went to see it on a preview. Back in the days where there wasn't that many previews, I was part of a movie club I think it was UGC Cinemas. Was that the name of the cinema chain at the Maitland Centre? Anyway, they used to have this movie club there where you subscribe for like, I don't know, £20 a year or something bizarre like that. And you got a magazine every month, but you also got tickets to preview screenings, which I didn't realise were just there so that they could have their bigger opening weekend numbers. But I went to see it as part of that, and I knew nothing about it other than this guy was going to be the next big guy. And I remember at the time coming out of it going, I want to see him in everything. He should be in every film. And now it's like, I don't know what the appeal was.
Well, my favourite film of Jim Carrey actually is The Truman Show.
It's a very good film. Very good film.
And he's less wacky, although he's in a far wackier scenario.
Yes. To be fair with Jim Carrey, he's become a very good actor. Some stuff he does is great. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Yeah, brilliant.
And I prefer that to his wacky stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the worst one I ever seen was Cable Guy. I was just like, this is awful.
Yeah, is it that it's just not age well, or I don't know. Was it always bad and I didn't know?
I don't know. Yeah,
Batman Forever, like, his Joker is just unwatchable.
Yeah, I think I liked The Mask when it came out, and I didn't mind Ace Ventura. I always preferred The Mask, and then Ace Ventura 2, I was like, no. And then I think that was my limit.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then I just didn't find him funny after that. Bit like Lee Evans, I never really found Lee Evans funny as a comedian. And then he was incredibly popular, but I just didn't get it. And I got to that point with Jim Carrey, but in the first couple of films, I did get it. And I said, and The Truman Show, I thought he was very good in that, and Eternal Sunshine of a Spotless Mind, I thought he was very good in that. So I prefer his more serious stuff.
Yeah, I think I do. I think he's done some good serious stuff.
Ace Ventura wasn't bad, it wasn't great. It was of its time, and he had a sweet spot for a few years that he did well in. So fair play to him. I don't have anything against the film. I think it is what it is. It's just not for me. Same with like Eddie Murphy films. When he made a lot of films, some of his films are like the comedy ones, but others I don't. You know, when he continually plays himself over and over again.
Yeah.
So, but popular films, so people most like them. And then today I've just come back from seeing Top Gun Maverick.
Okay, right. So we're going to say to you right there, if you haven't seen Top Gun Maverick and you don't want it spoiled, this is the point to stop listening. Because we're going to go in depth on it. I guess we're going to go fairly in depth on it. Although, to be fair, the plot's not... It's not...
Yeah, you can't really go that deep.
No. but anyway, if you don't want to know anything about it, now's the time to stop watching or listening.
Yeah. And then make sure you do watch it after you've watched. At least watch us after you've watched it.
Yes, that makes sense. So, what are your thoughts on Top Gun Maverick?
So, I thought Top Gun Maverick was incredibly cheesy.
Yep.
I thought the story was weak or rehashed. I thought the script was brutal, but I loved it. Aesthetically, it was amazing.
In other words, it was everything Top Gun was.
Yeah, exactly. But it was more noticeable now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because Top Gun had a cult following and it was of its time in the 80s. And I thought, will that still work now? But the bits that they needed to improve on, say the aesthetics and the in-plane shots and, well, even the out-plane shots, they did really well. There's still, I'm coming to the conclusion, maybe I just don't like Tom Cruise. And I don't know why. He's not doing anything to me. But all his films seem to be indulging him, like the bits on a motorbike. I can do without that. All right, Tom, you like motorbikes? Oh, you're flying this plane at the end. Yeah, you want to be on a sailboat. I don't care, Tom.
He does have this certain grin, like when he was on that motorbike. There's something about that grin that makes you want to wipe it off his face. But
yeah, and it's in every film. And I'm going, it's not just a character. I think it's him. It's like, I know that he has something in his contract where he has to ride a motorbike in his films, because it happens in all of his films. It's not just Top Gun, it's all of his films. He's on a motorbike. So I'm going, how arrogant are you that you're that? And then I know he flies planes because he did.
But at the same time, that shot of him riding the motorbike going past the aeroplanes was cool.
Yeah, but it was only cool because it was in the original.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
There was a bit too much of that for me, a bit too much of replicating. So that bit, the photo at the end with, you know, him and him, and then the two enemies, can I, it's just a bit like, all right, we've done this. But the bits that were different, I like. So, yeah, I mean, I loved it overall. It was what I'd expected to be and what I'd want it to be.
Mm.
Like, there's bits that not irritated me, but just made me cringe a bit, you know, like calling each other by call signs all the time. It's just like, you know, in the bar where they're all meeting each other at the beginning, it was painfully bad. But at the same time, I was smiling. But
also excellent.
Yeah. But it's like, yo, I, not that I said, yo, Hangman, what are you doing here? The best bit about the whole thing was, what's your name? Bob. No, your call sign. Bob. I love that. That was clever. And I think that's what it's doing there. It's making fun of it.
It is.
The aeroplane sequences were phenomenal.
They were amazing. And just that, there's something about knowing it's real that makes a difference, I think. Because so you could probably achieve a lot of that with effects. I'm sure you could now. The effects are good now, you know. But knowing that it's real and going in knowing that they're really in those planes adds something to it, doesn't it? It really does.
Yeah. The bit that I really didn't like is, oh yeah, we told people spoilers, where they get shot down and then they go and steal the F-14. And I know they're trying to weave it in it, but I called it as soon as they mentioned, oh, they've even got some old F-14s. I was like, they're coming into this somewhere. And then it's like, oh, we'll just walk in and take, oh, come on.
It's funny how all the stuff you didn't like, I thought were great.
It was just like, come on.
But it is. Yeah, they did steal that very easily.
Yeah, incredible. But what I did think was good is, it's like, Miles Teller, you know, I'm a fan of his as an actor anyway. But I thought, oh, it's an interesting choice to play Goose's son. But he looks just like him.
He does, yeah.
You know, with that tight mustache, I was like, that, yeah, I believe he's his son, unless it is his son. But
yeah, he does, he looks a lot like him. And I think he was really good as well. You got, you know, you didn't have to use dialogue to understand how he was feeling.
No. And it led you to believe that he was blaming Maverick for his dad's death, but it wasn't
But it, no.
I'm pulling his papers.
Yeah. And I liked that. You know, the whole thing was a training mission. You know, it wasn't just this random, we're trying to, they had an objective that they were trying to reach. And what it meant was, is every stage of it, okay, first of all, there's this bit where you've got to fly through the mountains, which, can I just say, is absolutely the Death Star trench run.
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. That's what I was thinking. It was going, oh, but you've got to do two.
So, yeah, so but I love that. So, they're practicing it, and so that when you finally see it later on and they're in it, you're not confused about what's happening at all. You know exactly what the objective is, you know the dangers, you know if they go too high here, what's going to happen? So the whole finale, you understand the mission as much as they do. And that really works, because with the first Top Gun, sometimes you're a little confused about what was happening, where and all of that, I thought. But this, there's no question. You know what the plan is. They want to go from here to here. They've got to drop these bombs here, exactly. And I thought that really works. So you see them practice it and practice it. And it was made the end more exciting, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. And I liked, and it was even the replicating that. I mean, the storyline was just, it was just a ripoff of the first one. Do you know what, yeah, it's like, where he's in the first one, where he's chatting to the woman, Kelly McGillis, is it, and going, also, and then the next day when she walks in and he's like, oh, and then they all did it when he walked in.
Yeah, that worked well.
Yeah, it's like, we've seen this. So, yeah, but as I said, it's about the level I expected. It's about the level I wanted. So I'm not pulling it apart for the sake of it. It's just, you can't make out like it's an excellent script, or that there's great dialogue or really deep plots and original plot. Like, there isn't.
No, but it's Top Gun. But I don't think it was pretending to be. I think it was saying, you love Top Gun, you're going to love this.
Yeah, absolutely. The same theme tune. You know, or we'll swap out volleyball for American football. You know.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the original Top Gun. I think I might actually prefer this one.
I think this is a better film.
Yeah.
Slightly.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt the action's better, but I enjoyed the film more. I think the first one doesn't really have much of a plot going on. At least this had a structured plot. I mean, it was, it's the clash between him and Iceman, but the training and the eventual, you know, the action sequence at the end don't really feel connected in that first one, whereas I thought there was a good through line here. Mm. And what did you think of Val Kilmer's cameo?
Yeah, is there anything... Is he ill in real life?
He is, yeah.
Right. Because I thought he was, and I'd read it, but I didn't have a chance to check before, because I was like, why is it, but it is written in that. Yeah, I thought it was a nice touch, and he had to be in somewhere, because obviously they'd referenced him in the picture.
He has throat cancer.
Yeah, I knew it was something to do with his mouth, because it said they don't want it, that he can't talk, but I didn't know if he'd, you know, what stage he was at in terms of it, his treatment, he had treatment that had worked or not, so.
Which does make killing his character off a little dark.
Especially when...
When he's ill in real life, yeah.
Well, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the hammering the thing in. But yeah, it was nice to have him in. It was a nice touch of him.
Yeah, it was nice acknowledging. And I like the fact that you got the sense that after the first Top Gun film, they've been friends for 20 years. They've been really close ever since then. And I like that. It's nice.
Yeah, but it kind of ruins the first Top Gun in terms of that him and Jen, they didn't have a happily ever after.
Oh, those two were never going to last.
So it's like the introducers to this Penny and her daughter Amelia, but we don't know who they are. So we get to know that something's happened in between.
Yeah.
Like the dog got so big.
I think that's quite, I mean, in a sense, it's like, yeah, I guess that's the way life goes, isn't it? If those two weren't, you know, we've missed 20 years of somebody's life. And but I thought they did it cleverly through dialogue. They didn't sit down and explain it all to you. You picked it up through little bits of the conversation.
There was a bit in the beginning where he came in and he goes, Penny. And I'm going, am I supposed to know who she is? Because I don't know. Is there a little girl in the thing? And then it quickly transpires that there's been some connection. She's been there in between. He's been running away.
Now, I thought that the relationship there was probably the least successful part of the film. It was okay. Yeah, it just felt like it was sort of just wedged in there so that it was there.
It was very Top Gun, but I liked the way that it gives him something, because as Rooster said to him, that you don't have anyone to mourn you, so he needs to be grounded in something, because otherwise he's just this weird maverick that's kind of pity.
Yeah. I did feel sorry for him a few times, too. And going, he's actually quite a sad character in that sense. He can't let go of what he was. And the fact that he's never been promoted because he's never wanted to stop being who he is, it's actually quite sad.
Yeah. And I said it was more cheesy bits, you know, like talk to me, goose, talk to me, and then talk to me, dad, talk to me, dad. So it's, yeah, it was a bit, but that's just what you expect, isn't it?
It is. And I also just a little note on John Hamm was also very good and should be in more films.
Yeah.
Every time he pops up in something like this, it's like, why is he not in more stuff?
But like Ed Harris was only in for a short bit, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. It was just like, it was, I was expecting a lot more of Ed Harris in it. But you know what? What he did well.
Yeah, I mean, that bit at the beginning, I guess it was just explaining where Maverick was. But it's utterly pointless.
And I did like the stealth fighter that he was in. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then he goes, oh, don't go over Mach 10. Just end up. And you know what's going to happen. You know he is. And it all falls apart. You pushed it too far. You deserve everything you get.
He is. He's his own worst enemy in that sense. It's like he deserved to get fired there.
Yeah, but he didn't. He landed on his feet, didn't he? And he went to Top Gun.
Ah, some people are like that, you know. They keep on doing everything wrong and they keep on getting rewarded for it. It's not right.
Mm. That's a deep theme of Top Gun Maverick.
Maybe Maverick's the villain of the piece.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out like Cobra Kai years later.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, I'd quite like to see it on IMAX because I imagine some of those combat sequences on a huge, huge screen would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I thought, you know, say it looked amazing. It was shot very well. You know, even just the opening shot where he's in his garage or hangar. Mm. And he comes out. There was some nice symmetrical shots and nice uses of light and shade. So I thought
I just read today the director, they put a camera in the cockpits, but you couldn't monitor it. So basically they took off with the cameras. They had to do their scenes and all of that, and he couldn't tell whether it had worked until they got back.
Right.
But every time they went up, it's sort of that waiting game of, well, it looks like they're doing the right thing up there, but you don't know until they get back down.
And I mean, I like the beginning. Indulge the bits of itself, which it knows are cheesy, but they're like all this at the beginning.
I was thinking, do they have to do that? Or is that what they really do? Or is that just, I mean, but yeah, I don't know. Is that part of the job? What does that mean? Is that a signal or are they just going, yeah, this is great?
I don't know. And I still can't believe, I mean, I can't because it happens, obviously, but do you know that they catch the plane with a rope?
That blows my mind every time. On the first one, when you see it, and it's got that little pole that comes down that catches on it, I was like, well, I didn't know that happened. And they still do it, yeah. That's kind of amazing.
It's only a short landing strip.
Yeah.
So they have to slow them down pretty quickly and go off the edge.
Yeah, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Have you got any other thoughts on it, or have you?
No, I mean, it was just fun, isn't it? I was really impressed with how it looks, really impressed with the fight sequences and the combat sequences. Yeah, but the rest of it was just like a continuation of Top Gun, which is what they were aiming for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the same script. There was another film. Another film had done the same, where they'd done a sequel years later, and I'm thinking, this is just the same film. But they knew intended what they were doing, and I think it'll be very successful for that.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking, but it looks great. I loved how it looked.
And it is one of those films that make you glad you saw it on the big screen.
Yeah. Oh, and I went to Preston today. They've got Preston View. They've got recliner seats as standing.
Really?
Electronic big leather recliners, yeah. So it felt like I was in the cockpit. But the best thing I can say about Top Gun Maverick is that when I watched Top Gun as a kid, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. When I watched Top Gun Maverick today as a 40 something year old man, I want to be a fighter pilot.
Yeah. I've actually got a flying lesson tomorrow. I do.
Really?
Yeah. It was booked before all of this, before I even knew when this was coming out. It was a birthday present. But
what's
now
your
I'm a
call
little bit.
sign?
I don't know. What would be my call sign? Frog.
Frog, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm a little bit concerned that I want to try and make it roll now.
Very good. And where's that at? Teesside Airport?
No, Shotton. Near Peter Lee. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But I wish I hadn't seen Maverick the week before, because now I want to. Here's one big problem with the film. Nobody said, I feel the need for speed. And that's what I'm feeling tomorrow, the need for speed.
Yeah, but Danger Zone was in there.
It was.
Balls of Fire was in there.
It was.
So,
yeah,
it was good fun. Good fun. So if you have seen Top Gun Maverick and you're watching this, let us know what you think. I've not read a negative review. Everyone seems to love it. I got someone on my Facebook today told me it was faultless. Ian Cornford, who rarely... Say what? Yeah, faultless. Corny, who rarely posts anything on social media, came out and said that he loved it. So it must have been good for him to inspire him to post.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know about faultless, but it was certainly very enjoyable and a good film that, you know, cinema should stick around, because whilst I'm going to enjoy it when it comes out at home, it won't be the same.
Yeah, and I'll be buying it, so...
Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah, and it was good fun. Yeah. Not sure what I'm going to watch next. The trailers were less than inspiring. Lightyear.
Lightyear looks terrible.
Another Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible.
I am so hyped for that. Mission Impossible films are I was going to say guilty pleasure, but they're not. They're just the films I enjoy watching. I could watch them on the loop all day.
Well, when I watched the trailer for that, something in my head, and again, it might be my Tom Cruise prejudice, something in my head goes, I don't want to watch that.
Right.
Something in my head tells me the rubbish. But when I think about my experience, of particularly the first one, I think I really liked it.
Yeah.
And I think I liked, which one's the one on the motorbike? All of them. But the one where he stops and has the... Anyway, Mission Impossible 2 was... I think I really liked that.
Right.
I didn't... I think I stopped liking something Ghost Protocol, is it?
Oh, I love that one. That's the one where he climbs up the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah, I think that's what I was a bit like. But I might go back and watch him, because it might just be the Tom Cruise prejudice in my head.
It might be. I think they're all... I'm less keen on the second one, but I think they're all solid action films. And there's the whole, okay, Tom Cruise is going to do a stunt in this one, and it's the Tom Cruise of it. But I think even outside that, they're really good films.
So I'll have a look at them again, I think.
Did you see did it have a trailer for Bullet Train when you were went to see it?
Oh yeah, that looked funny.
Yeah, that looks interesting. I'm on board with that one.
I've got a gun. The quiet guy. Oh yeah, I can't. That made me laugh. I don't get what the premise of the film is, really. It's something about crime gangsters. But
it looks like all gangsters on a train looking for one particular suitcase or something.
Which could be quite good.
Yeah, yeah. I think I think that's going to be a good, fun film.
So I'll look at that. Well, yeah, so let us know what you think of Top Gun Maverick. Any of the films are coming out. And we'll be back next week with more gut reactions and... probably talking a bit more about Top Gun once we've gauged other people's reactions, and hopefully we watch more during the week than I've watched this week.
Yes, and get in touch with us. Thank you for those who got in touch this week.
Yeah.
And sent us messages. We love getting messages and love reading them out. So please get in touch. Let us know what you thought of Top Gun. Let us know what you thought of Chippendale Rescue Rangers, if you've seen it. And does anybody think Exodus Gods and Kings is any good? I'll be curious to find out.
Okay, thank you very much, and we'll see you soon.